We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Birchas HaShachar, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Mem Hey, and we're just about halfway through the paragraph. We're starting from the words Ki Iker Bechinas Avodah Zarah Ushmad Hu Bechinas Taivas Momon. That's what we're up to. Again, this halacha is based on two chapters of Likutei Moran so far. Chapter 215, which deals especially with a Jew, or even lahavdil a non-Jew, being elevated from the lowest point spiritually, which is Shmad, to the top, the highest possible spiritual point, which is Ratzon, and the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzaddik Oemes, he's the one who is that bridge, who can take a person from one extreme to the other. And also, we were talking a lot about Torah Dalet in the second half of Likutei Moran, which speaks also about the topic of Ratzon, and it speaks about the two types of elders, those elders who continue despite their old age, despite even their retiring from certain aspects of life, they're still going strong in keeping their brain active, in wanting to increase their das, their mitzvahs, and especially the most important das, which is their awareness of Hashem. That's one type of zaken, versus the zakenim that go into retirement mode and they're not growing at all. They're not looking to add any new das, mitzvahs, Torah in their lives. And we said that unfortunately, they serve as a source from which the Sitra Achra draws. They're the opposite of Ratzon. Ratzon means appeasement, goodwill, happiness, love, and they are broigas, they are angry, grumpy, chas v'shalom. We spoke about that quite a bit, and we said that the term shmad means total disregard for Hashem, chas v'shalom, and another term for that is avodah zarah, idol worship. These are different forms of going against Hashem. And now Rav Nosson Sal is going to crystallize it, put it into a much more tangible form that all of us deal with on a regular basis. Ki ikar bechinas avodah zarah ushmad, because the main form of avodah zarah and shmad that we have to deal with, hu bechinas taivas mamon, is the issue of the desire, the excessive desire for money. Taivas mamon means when a person wants more than what they need, more than what their basic needs are. V'tirdas umeriras haparnosa. And the tirda means the preoccupation, the fact that a person is completely preoccupied and weighed down with the issue of parnosa, and merirus means the bitterness associated with parnosa, the suffering, the struggle. Masha hasoton v'habaldovor mapil es kol echod bedaitoi litivius. The fact that the Yetzirah convinces all of us that parnosa and money is based on teva. It's based on what's going on around us, the economy, the this, all of those kind of things. V'roitze laharchikoi me'emunas ha'hashgocha v'horotzein hu'elyoim. And the Yetzirah tries to push us away, to get us to forget and disregard the issues of hashgocha, that we are completely in Hashem's hands and Hashem is controlling what we have and what we don't have. And Rotzayin Hu'elyon, that it's all tied into what Hashem wants, Hashem's will. U'machmazeh, and because of the fact that we're not focusing on Hashem, on Hashgacha, we get involved and preoccupied by these other factors, teva. Because of this, doyeg tomid al momonu parnosa, the person is always worrying about money and parnosa, because they have things coming at them all the time, bills, different things, and there's different things, expectations. People are expecting certain things that they know are going to be costing money, and they're worried about it. And then the Yetzirah is constantly bombarding us with the news, all kinds of news that we hear that frightens us into how is this going to affect my parnosa, or they seem to be implying that this is definitely going to affect my parnosa, chas v'shalom, and put a person into mode of worry and bitterness and heaviness. Machmas sheroye she'ato nismayit parnososa, because of the fact that the person sees that right now my parnosa has gone down. That's one example. of the struggle involved and the bitterness involved. Ve'yesh, and there are other people, she'yesh lo'y momoin harbe, where the person really has a lot of money. And if you would ask this person honestly, with what you have right now, would you admit that you're okay for the next 10 years, 15 years, let's say? And the person would have to say yes. And despite that, aval misave yoiser v'yoiser, the person still wants more. They crave more, and they're not looking to wait 10, 50. They want more now. V'chol ze nimshach mebechinas kfirus barotzoin v'hashkocha. And all of this comes from a lack of real faith in this issue of rotzoin and hashkocha, that it's all in Hashem's hands, and the hashkocha is going to determines what a person has and doesn't have. Shehem bechinas shmad v'avoydezora. And the opposite of rotzoin and hashkocha is shmad and avoydezora. Ki kol ho avoydezoras tchuvim b'momoin. This is a very, very big statement that Rabbeinu Zal makes in chapter 23 in Likutei Moran, which is one of the main Torahs in Likutei Moran, where he addresses the issue of money. And there Rabbeinu Zal says that all of the different idols are all found in money. Money is koilel, all the different flavors of avodah zarah and idol worship. One of the psukim he quotes is elilei kesef ve'elilei zohov, idols of gold and silver. K'moshekosuv b'Torah tzivi sitzedek simen chav gimel, as is brought in that chapter on the Likutei Moran. V'hatikun lozeh. So if money can be avodah zarah, money doesn't have to be avodah zarah. It can be an idol. It can be. They write in some countries, they write on the money, in G-O-D we trust. What's the G-O-D? The dollar or the penny. That's the G-O-D. That's the thing we trust in. The more we have of it, the more at peace we are, tranquility. The less we have, the more concerned, crazy we get. Chas v'shalom. So now, Rav Moshe Zal says, v'tikun lazeh, the tikun for taivas momoin, the tikun for the avodah zarah and shmad that's associated with money and parnosa, is bechinas maisa hamishkan, is the building of the mishkan and everything associated with it, bechina of which is another form of bechinas tzedaka la'aniim hagunim uksheirim bemes. We had learned before, Rav Nosson Zal had given us two examples of outstanding charity. One example was the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash, the Karbonos that we brought there, supporting the Kohanim and the Leviim. And now Rav Nosson Zal says, and in addition, tzedakah to real worthy causes, worthy poor people and people who are really religious. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain, what's the kesher? What's the kesher with that and solving this issue of the elilei kesef and the bitterness and the tirda, the suffering that goes together with earning a livelihood? Ki lametes malachos, because the 39 acts of work, which include in them all of that parnasa, the topic of parnasa, when we talk about a person working for a living, when we talk about the 6 days of work, sheishes yomim tavoid, the Gemara speaks about it in terms of 39 acts of work. And those 39 acts of work, mi mishkan gamrinan, the Gemara learns them out from the mishkan. All of them were found in the services that were performed in the mishkan. V'chol iske hamasu umatn v'hamalochos, klulim balametes malachos, and all different types of business transactions that people conduct, and all types of work, everything that's included in the topic of work, earning a livelihood, parnosa, is included in these 39 malachos. They pretty much cover everything, or at least they're representative of everything. V'tzorich kol echod leharbois b'tzedakah, every Jew needs to try to give a lot of tzedakah. And what's my intention? What's the kavona in doing it? Lahamshich alatzmoy kedushas hamishkan she'osa Moshe. That by giving tzedakah, I'm trying to connect to one of the major forms of tzedakah in Judaism, which was the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash, which Moshe Rabbeinu built. She'asoy betikunim koela, which Moshe Rabbeinu built with such depth, with such spiritual tikkunim, lesaken ledoyrois chetoegel shuavoydezora, that the building in Moshe Rabbeinu building the Mishkan and in everything that went on there, that was supposed to serve as a correction, a tikkun for the egel hazoha, for the golden calf, which was major, major idol worship. Shehu avoydezora bechinas taivas momoin, and the egel hazohav was gold. It was serious wealth and jewels and all of those things. That represents this issue of taivas momoin, the negative aspect of money. Ki behamishkon kolul kol hagavnen iloin hamaluboshim bekesev vezov unechoshes utcheles vargomon, because in the Mishkan was included all the colors, all the different lights that are found in gold and silver, copper, blue wool, red, all the different colors of the garments, the wools, and all the different colors of the metals, which the Zohar HaKadosh refers to as Gavnan Elohim. They reflect Hashem's light. They are different physical manifestations of spiritual light. That's what the colors of gold and silver and all these colors are, a physical display of the heavenly colors, the Gavnan Elohim. Shebishoroshim, whereby in the source where these things originate, Heim Gevoyim Ma'oid, they're on a very high spiritual level. Kihem Iker Gedulas Haboyres Baruch, they represent, they symbolize the greatness of Hashem. They are one of the displays of Hashem's greatness, which is light. Yehi Oyer, the sun, the moon, all different forms of light. K'moy shekosu b'mokom acher, as Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in chapter 25 in Likutei Moran. Ach lemato, however, when this heavenly light, when these spiritual lights come down to this physical world, to the Olam Huasiya, noflu moed, they have fallen, they've dropped spiritually from a trillion to minus something, minus some kind of number. At sheroiv hisrachkus b'nei ha'odah me'ashem yisborach, whereby Rabbi Nosson Zal says, we can honestly say that the majority of people that are far from Hashem, and the thing that puts most people far from Hashem the most, hu tirdas hamomoin v'achafetzim, is the preoccupation with money and physical need, materialistic needs. Shekulam klulim bekesev v'zohov unachoshes utcheles, all of them are represented by the different metals and the different colors that were used in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. So now this is the problem. What's the solution? Umi shemekasher atzmoi litzadike hador hu'amitiyim, a Jew who attaches himself in a serious way to the true tzaddikim of the generation, bechinas Moshe, who are all in the category of Moshe Rabbeinu, they're referred to as Moshe Rabbeinu. And for posterity, we want to say that this shiur is being given on Zayin Ador, which is the birthday and the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a very, very important day of the year. We know that Haman based his whole hopes for success on the fact that when he made the lottery, it came out in the month of Adar, and he knew that this was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. This is what gave him the confidence and the determination to go ahead with his mission. The fact that his mission failed totally attests to the greatness of Zion Adar and Moshe Rabbeinu, shows how wrong he was, that Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit is one of the best days for Klal Yisrael, an important day when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the level of Ratzon, and it was on Shabbos at Mincha time, also a tremendous Eis Ratzon. It brought a tremendous tikkun, not just to Moshe Rabbeinu, to all of Klal Yisrael, for generations, as we see. As Rav Nosson Zal describes here, that the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu's work, wasn't just a tikkun for his generation, it was going to be a tikkun for all future generations, as we'll see. So a person who attaches himself to the true tzaddikim of the generation, who represent Moshe Rabbeinu, umarbim bitzdoko likdusha lashamayim, and these people give a lot of tzedaka, charity, for Hashem's honor, v'loy lehispoyer, not to show off, not for personal glory. We know that in the world, there's a lot of people where one of their main motivations in giving is the publicity involved in it. That's one type of tzedakah. And there's another type of tzedakah where the person prefers low profile, no publicity, don't want people to know, want it to serve the purposes that Hashem defines tzedakah as for, to help the poor person, that the poor person should be helped. The cause should receive the help. So Rav Nosson Zal says those people who attach themselves to the tzaddik Yedor HaMoshe, umarbim b'tzedakah d'kedusha l'shamayim, where it's for Hashem's honor and it's a show of respect for Hashem, that I'm taking one of the most important things in my life, which is my money, which I work for, which I struggle for, which I pray for, which I spend so much time, I'm taking this and giving it away, supposedly. Because again, because I realize that it's not my, it's Hashem's, number one. It's not mine, it's Hashem's. And I'm giving, I believe, b'emunah shleima, by giving part of it to Hashem or to Hashem's representatives, that's going to bring the bracha for me, for my family, for all of my own personal needs. Al yidei zeh zoichim shemeir bohem he'oras haratzoim. Through this, the person is zoiche that there's shined into their money, into their lives, this he'oras haratzon, this light of ratzon, mibechinas Moshe, from Moshe Rabbeinu, ad sheyoyer lohem b'chol minei choshech, which lights up a path for them to get them through all kinds of darkness, la'alois misham, to get them to be able to come up, come out of all kinds of choshech. Listen to this now. Ki ha'mishkon nase b'kedusha kazois. The Mishkan was built with such a level of holiness, shafilu bechurbana yogein al Yisrael, that even when it's taken down, even when we don't have the Mishkan, we're still feeling its effects. Lahavdil, when there's an earthquake, there's the actual time of the earthquake, which is a couple of seconds, whatever it is, and then there's the after effects. Everything here, the Torah tells us that the Mishkan was on such a high level that not just bibinyona, not just when it was put up and it was standing, but even when it was taken down, and even today that we don't have it, we still can draw on the benefits of the Mishkan. Bibichinas, as the pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Pikudei, Eile Pikudei HaMishkan, Mishkan Hoedus. The pasuk repeats the word Mishkan twice over there, side by side. And the Gemara says, Mishkan bebinyonai u Mishkan bechurbonai, that the Mishkan, when it was standing, and the Mishkan in its destroyed state, are both serving Klal Yisrael. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, that Bilam said, Matoivu oyholecho Yaakov mishkanesech Yisrael, how great are your tents and your Mishkanois, your Mishkan. V'dor Shurazal, and the Gemara says on this, Afilu that Bilam said, Afilu kishehem charevim moginim al Yisrael. Even when the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash are destroyed, they're still protecting the Jewish people. Ubishvil ze hekimu es haMishkan b'chol pam. And it's for this reason that the Mishkan was taken down and put back up repeatedly throughout the time that the Jews were in the desert. Uporkuhu bi'atzmon. The Jewish people themselves took it apart, dismantled it, and they traveled with the parts of the Mishkan from place to place, Bamidbar, through the wilderness, Choshech, Afela, where there was all kinds of darkness, especially spiritual darkness, Mekoim Nochosh, Sorof, Vyachrov, places of snakes, all kinds of snakes and scorpions, which means, the Zohar HaKadosh says, all kinds of sitra achra. Those 40 years that we were traveling in the desert, the term desert and wilderness, that's the place of the sitra achra. The nechoshim, there were physical manifestations of it, the snakes and scorpions, and the spiritual manifestations, we see the tests that the Yidden had throughout the time in the desert. They were constantly being bombarded from all sides. V'acharkach chazru ve'kimuhu, and after they took it apart, they put it back up together. Lohoyrois ledoyrois. This is a lesson for generations. Shafilu kishahamishkan yihi en nifrak v'choruv. In other words, if the Mishkan only works while it's standing, then they shouldn't have taken apart. They should have traveled with it standing. We know a person makes a model sometimes of whatever it is. They don't take it apart every time. they travel with it. They know it's delicate, it's fragile. You have to travel carefully, but they could have done it that way. The Torah Hashem instructed them, no, take it apart and put it back up to show us that even when the Mishkan would be taken apart, even in that state, it was still protecting us. How? Ve'im yekashru retzoinom tomid b'kdushas ha-mishkan u'beis ha-mikdash v'kelov. If we attach our retzoin, our desires, if we make sure to keep ourselves connected to the Mishkan and to the Beis Mikdash and the Kelim, v'hakoil b'koyach ha-tzadik emes, and all with the assistance of the true tzadikim, ha-oiskim b'binyan ha-mishkan b'chol dor v'dor, who are involved in building the Mishkan throughout each and every generation, k'mayshakosu b'toyra zamra, as Rabbi Nazal speaks about this in chapter 282 in Likutei Moran, and in other places in chapter 2 in Likutei Moran, where he says that our tefillos are all about building the Mishkan, and that tzaddikim who take our tefillos and put them together and everything, they're involved in constructing this Mishkan. Al yidei ze yuchlu lavur b'sholoim b'chol hamidborius. This gives a Jew the ability to cross all the wildernesses that each one of us have to cross in our lives. The wildernesses b'chol minei choshech v'tzalmovis, and all the different types of darkness and death, Rachman, that we engage, encounter in our lives. Afilu kishoivrim chas v'shalom yimokom nochosh v'soro v'akro v'tzimoim. Even when we're passing through wildernesses where there are snakes and scorpions and all kind of things, shebechol mekoymoy seilu behechrech sheyavor bohem haroitze logeshe selakoydesh. Rav Nelson Zal says that the wilderness that the Jews traveled through in the desert thousands of years ago to get to Eretz Yisrael, that wasn't a one-time experience. Any Jew who wants to get to Eretz Yisrael, any Jew who wants to get to Kedusha, needs to know that they're going to have to go through the Midbar. They're going to have to go through wilderness, and they're going to encounter snakes, scorpions, every kind of darkness, all kinds of battles. Bifrat, especially, mi shenichshal kvar, b'mach shenichshal, a person who unfortunately wasn't religious during a part of their lives, and they committed, they stumbled, they committed all kinds of sins in the past, v'roitze loshuv, and now the person wants to return to Hashem, shebehechrich sheyavur be'elu hamakoymois. That person must go through these places. They must go through the wilderness and the snakes and scorpions and everything. Bebechinas, as Mashikos of Rabbeinu Zal, al Maimar Azal, Bahainu Dol. As Rabbeinu Zal explains this on Likutei Moran in chapter 27, in one of the discussions with the Sovei Devei Atuna, the wise men of Athens who were debating with Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, and they asked them about an egg, that they said that an egg, when the chick inside dies, how does its spirit leave? He said, simple, the same way it came in. You know, they were asking a deep question, what do you mean the egg is closed? How does it get out? He said, the same way it got in. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that this is a lesson for all of us, that when a Jew needs to correct things in their lives, mistakes that they made in the past, how do you correct it? The answer is the same way the sin was originally committed. That's how it's corrected. The person has to be put through tests and all kinds of difficulties and struggles, things that would seem to pull him away from Hashem. And it's only if the person stands up to those tests and passes those tests that serves as a complete correction for things that the person might have done in the past. Umikulam yatzilenu Hashem. And through all of these tests and all of these darkness and wilderness and everything, Hashem saves the person al yedei toikef harotzayin dikdusha, through the person's powerful determination, his rotzayin, his willpower, sheyizke, which, where's he going to get that willpower? Where's he going to get that nuclear energy from? Al yedei hiskashrus letzadikei emes, by coming close to and attaching himself to the true tzadikim. We said that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who brings us to Rotzoin. V'alkein, hizkir betchila maisa hamenoira achar maisa hamishkan kanal. And this again is the reason why, right after the Torah tells us about the construction of the Mishkan, the first topic it brings up after that is the menorah, the activity of lighting the menorah. ki maisa hamanoira venei seho heim ikara oir harotzlin, because all the activity around lighting the menorah was this, represented this light of rotzlin, the fire of the candles represents the fiery desire inside a person for Hashem. We said Ne'er Hashem Nishma Sodom, the neshama, which is nefesh, which is rotzlin. When they lit that menorah, that light was lighting, was turning on the neshama of all of Klal Yisrael. Shehoyameir beMishkan beBeis Hamikdash, this light which was shining in the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash, Shaydeze Oilim Mikol Minei Choshech Sheboilam. This gives us the ability to come out of all the different kinds of darkness in this world. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Ki Ato Toir Neiri. You, Hashem, light up my candle. And we know that today we don't have the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash. Hashem says that V'afgam Zois Bihiyosam Be'eretz Oyveihem. Even when the Jews will be in Golus, in the lands of their enemies, Loi Ma'astim V'Loi Galtim. I won't reject them completely. Vo'ehi Lohem Lemikdash Ma'at. They won't have the real Beis Hamikdash Mishkan. We'll give them a miniature form. And the Gemara says that's the Botei Knesios and the Botei Midrashos. That's the shuls and the places of learning. Every time a Jew goes into a shul or a place of learning, or any kesher that a Jew has to Botechnism, he knows that's his kesher to the Mishkan. That's the Mishkan, that's one form of it. And again, the other form is that tzaddikim. That tzaddikim are, the Zohar Kodesh says, they are anpei shechinta. Just like the Shekhinah, it says about the Mishkan, v'shochanti b'soichem, that the Shekhinah was in the Mishkan, so too the tzaddikim, they are the ones who have this deep connection to the Shekhinah. They are a Mishkan also. Paragraph Memvov. And this is why the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu struggled and couldn't understand how to make the menorah. And this is explained especially in the Medrash on Parshas Baloischa, chapter 16, Muva beYalkut Horuveni Parshas Truma. And that Medrash is also quoted in the Sefer Yalkut Horuveni, which is an incredible collection of Medrashim and things from the Zohar HaKadosh and other sources, that there it tells us, Sheniskashebo Mo'oid, that Moshe Rabbeinu found it very, very difficult to understand the menorah. Vafilu kishashim yisporach gilaloi, and even when Hashem revealed it to him and explained it to him, Chozar v'shokach ma'aseho kishiorat. He forgot it. When he came back down to earth, he forgot. V'chozar v'ola, and it says he went back up, v'shoal, and he asked Hashem, u'pirish loy, Hashem explained it to him again, v'chozar v'shokach, and he forgot again. V'chein kam upon him, and this happens many times, ad sho'omar loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, leich etzel Betzalel, v'hu yaso isamiyad. Go to Betzalel, he'll get it done right away. He'll get it done quickly. Umiyad oisoisa Betzalel. And the Medrash goes on to say that sure enough, Moshe Rabbeinu did this. He went to Betzalel, and Betzalel got it done right away. Hischil v'tama, so Moshe Rabbeinu started wondering. V'omar, and he said, Ani kama po'omim herali HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't understand this. Hashem showed this to me, explained it to me several times. V'niskashesi lasoisa. And I couldn't do it. V'ato, and you, sheloi roisa. You weren't shown what I was shown. Hashem didn't show it to you the way he showed it to me. Osiso midaitcha? You were able with your own intelligence to be able to know how to make the menorah? Betzalel. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Betzalel, your name Betzalel? Betzel keil hoisa. It seems that you stood in the shade of Hashem. Kishaherali HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asiyosa. You must have been standing in the shadows or in Hashem's shade when Hashem was showing me how to make it. Ad kan l'shoinoi. These are the words of the Medrash. V'chol roye yishtoimem al hamar azois. Anyone who learns this Medrash is amazed. You know, what in the world is this all about? Eich hitochein. How could it possibly be shemoshe lo yoda, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand, v'niskashe kama pomim alasiyosa, and he struggled repeatedly about how to make the menorah, u'betzalel oso oisa miyad, and Betzalel made it quickly? ואם מחמס שהיה עומד בצל קל, כשהר הקדוש ברוך הוא למוישה עשה עושה, and if it's because Bezalel was standing in the background when Hashem was showing Moshe Rabbeinu how to make it, הלוי מוישה בעצמי בוודאי עומד שמה. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu was standing in the foreground. He was standing right there. והשם יסבורך בעצמי לא מדויס, and Hashem himself was teaching him, וגילו לו יעשיוסו פעם אחר פעם. And Hashem revealed him exactly how to make it time and time again, ואף על פיקי נסקה שכל כך, and despite that, Moshe Rabbeinu had such a problem with it, ובצלל שעומד רק מצידוי, whereas בצלל, who was standing on the side, at best, בצל קל, הישיג לעשוי סמיד, he understood how to make it zip-zap, no problem. Im Rebbe Loishono, Chia Minole. The Gemara says there was Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi, and one of Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi's students was Rebbe Chia. And there are a few times in the Gemara where Rebbe Chia, where a Talmud says something, and the Gemara shows that his rabbi didn't say this or didn't know it. So the Gemara says, if Rebbe didn't know, how does Rebbe Chia know? If the rabbi doesn't know, how could the student receives everything he has from the rabbi? How could the student know something that the rabbi doesn't? Ach mashev shelohoven bazeh mirochoik, anu mechuyovim lachtor ulefaresh divrei razal hakdoshim ho amukim mo'oid mo'oid. However, Rav Nosson Zal says, what's possible for us to understand the lessons that we can derive from this and the messages that we can derive from this, we're obligated to try to delve into it, to try to understand the words of our rabbis, which are so, so deep. And now he's going to explain. Ki bevadai Moshe niskashe mo'oid mo'oid kama pomim b'maisa ha-menoira. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult to repeat again and again to understand the workings of the menorah, shehu bechinas lasois kli kedoisha venorah kazois, because as we explained, what was the menorah? The menorah was such an incredible holy vessel, sheyuchal lohoyer al yodo heora sarotzin dekdusha b'chol Yisrael, through which Hashem and the tzaddikim have the ability to shine rotzin into klal Yisrael. The menorah is the generator, this nuclear generator that's feeding rotzoin into all of Klal Yisrael. Bechol echod veechod miYisrael, into each and every single Jew. Bechol ma shiavor elof kol yemei chayav, related to everything that person is going to go through throughout his entire life, all the ups and downs. The menorah is this special keli that's shining that light that's called rotzoin. The neshama, ner Hashem nishma sodom, the neshama, the nefesh, which is rotzoin. Shebechol minei choyshech, ובכל מיני ירידויס ונפילויס שיעברו עליו, so that through all the different kinds of darkness and all the different falls that each and every Jew will experience throughout his entire life, בכולם יסגבר בתויקה פרוצין, the Jew will be able to overcome all the obstacles, all the struggles, all the darkness, all the difficulties, בתויקה פרוצין, through our powerful, powerful determination and willpower and desire, שיועירולוי, which the menorah will shine into the person, לאלויס מכולם, to able to rise above all the problems, all the tzoris. כי בוודאי קושה מאוד להשיג הסוגס עשייס כלי נפלא כזויס. For a person to understand how there could be such a keli that's going to give the Jewish people the strength that they need for thousands of generations to have the rotzayin dikdusha to overcome all the yeridas nefilos, that keli must be something very, very special. Bifrat shekvaro Moshe Beinov, especially since Moshe Rabbeinu had already seen with his own eyes Mashena Sebozeh Hoylam, what goes on in this world. Shachrei Kol Ha'oisois Noirois Shosam Yisrael B'Yitzias Mitzrayim V'Kriyas Yam Sufa Matan Torah, that after all the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu himself showed the Jewish people in leaving Egypt, in Kriyas Yam Sufa Matan Torah, after all of that, Achar Kach Osu Mashosu, a couple of minutes later, they were in a golden calf and doing every kind of terrible thing imaginable. Vehevin vero kamo vekamo koshe lazor lebal b'chira. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu saw and understood how difficult it is to help a Jew in this world, a person who has free choice. You can give him all the speeches in the world, everything, and a minute later, he can jump ship. He can do the craziest, most idiotic thing imaginable, as Moshe Rabbeinu saw with his own eyes. Al Kain, Rabbeinu Zal once said that it's easier to fix 1,000 souls of people who have left the world than it is to elevate a Baal B'chira one step up the ladder. To move a Baal B'chira, a person who's physically still living in this world and has free choice, to get him to advance a step in coming closer to Hashem is more difficult than it is to rectify 1,000 souls. That's how difficult this issue of B'chira is. Al kein lo yoyo yochoy lahasig ulahachnis bedaitoy asiyas hamenoira. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand, and he couldn't accept, in a sense, he couldn't the makings of the menorah, shehi bechinas he'oras harotzlin, which represents this light of rotzlin, b'tikunim nifloim koela, with such tikunim hamerumozim b'shiva knei menorah, which are included, the secrets, the Kabbalistic secrets and everything, that are included in all the workings of the menorah, the seven rungs, the yud ches prochim, and the 18 flowers, the tes kaftoirim, and the 9 buttons, the knobs, the chof beis givim, and the 22 receptacles, shekulam oilim mem tes, where the Gemara and Rashi points out in this week's parsha that the total number of all the parts of the menorah were 49 parts. Keneged memtes yemei hasfira, corresponding to the 49 days of the counting of the Omer, sheovru al Yisrael, which is what the Jewish people went through, you know, in their coming out of Mitzrayim, coming out of the bottom of the bottom, and trying to go up to the top of the top, to the 50th level of Kiddusha. V'acharkach kiblu hasatoira b'yoyim hachamishim. And then, after the 49 days, the Jews received the Torah on the 50th day, as all of this is explained in the writings of the Arizal. Umuva, and it's brought, shehu shoyresh haTorah, that this 50th level is the source, is the origin from where the Torah gets its light from. Sheloihi sigoi Moshe b'chayov, which Moshe Rabbeinu did not achieve, couldn't understand while he was physically living, because there's a pasuk in Tehillim where it says "Vatechasrehu me'at me'elikim," that Moshe Rabbeinu was missing a drop from Hashem. The Gemara says that what this refers to is that kaviyochol, the madrega of Hashem is defined as the 50th level, and Moshe Rabbeinu achieved 49 of those 50 during his lifetime. The Arizal goes on to say that this is why Moshe Rabbeinu was buried on a mountain called Har Nevo. The word Nevo is Nun Bo, the 50th in it. That on that mountain, when he passed away, he went up a level to pass away as Listalek. That's when he hit the 50th. That's when he became totally Botel to Hashem. That's when he hit 50. The Arizal says also that the word neshama, which we're talking about here throughout this whole halacha, the word neshama, which is the nefesh, which is the ratzon, the word neshama is Moshe Nun, to tell us that in physical form, while he had a body, he didn't get the 50th level. But as a neshama, when he left the body behind, as a neshama, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu hit 50, hit this top level. Rak be'ez histalkusoi, it's at the time of his passing away, nistalek l'shom, he went up into that 50th level. Kishom hu bechinas rotzayn ho'elyon, because that 50th level represents this peak of rotzayn, the highest level of rotzayn, of goodwill, of appeasement, of love, of desire. Bechinas rotzayn sheberetzaynois, as it's called, the rotzayn of all retzaynois, Shemachnis toikev harotzoin digdusha b'leiv kol Yisrael, where it's that 50th level that shines the most powerful willpower into each and every single Jewish heart, sheyor lehem b'chol minei choshech, which should give us the ability, which should shine a light for us to get us through every different kind of darkness. V'alkein niskashe al zeh moed. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu found this so difficult. Moshe Rabbeinu had seen what Jews are capable of, that we're capable of reaching the highest heights, and then a minute later, idol worship, all kinds of stuff. So how in the world could you tell me that there's going to be a keli that's going to be so powerful that it's going to crank out ratzon that's going to carry the Jews through thousands of years of ups and downs and golus and everything, and it's going to give them the ratzon, the drive that they need to make it through all of that? That's why Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with that. Aval Bezalel Shehu Bechinas HaTalmud Talmud HeHogun, but Bezalel, who is an example of a wonderful student, Bezalel was one of the fabulous students of Moshe Rabbeinu. Haven Vero Bezalel, Bezalel understood and saw Shema Sheneskashe Moshe Kol Kach, that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu is finding this so hard, Hu Machmas Oitzem Anvesonusoi Hagdoila, is because of Moshe Rabbeinu's incredible humility. Shehoya ono of Moed, Moshe Rabbeinu considered himself nothing and nobody. V'loi rotzo lahachzik toivol en afshoi. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to take credit for anything. Ukimavur b'mokam acher, baraya mehemna parshas b'haloischa, as we find in the Zohar HaKadosh, in the section Raya Mehemna, where Moshe Rabbeinu himself makes it perfectly clear what he thinks about himself. We know he said, "V'nachnu mo, we're nothing, we're nobody." V'alkei niskashe kol kach, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu found this so difficult. V'loyheven eich yase menoira b'tikunim koela, how can I, Hashem is asking me to make this menoira, how can I, Moshe Rabbeinu, make something with such tikunim, sheyoyir horotzoin lonetzach, which will give the Jews the willpower that they need for eternity. That's going to shine willpower and rotzina. Machma shehaven shehadovor tolu yiboy. What he was struggling with was his contribution to this. He understood that he has to play a very important role in this. Said shetzorich shiyeh nichlal kol kach barotzina velyoin, that he has to make such a strong connection to that 50th level, to that rotzina velyoin, so that he will be able to give the Yidden the Ratzon, the willpower that they need for eternity, to carry them through everything. And Moshe Rabbeinu, based on how he felt about himself, his answer was, I can't do this. He kept coming back, Hashem kept showing him, and Moshe Rabbeinu kept coming back saying, if I have to do this, I don't have what it takes for this. Alkei niskashe ma'oid moid al zeh. That's why he was struggling so much with this. Avol Bezalel Talmidoi, whereas his student Bezalel, haven meirochoik gedulas raboi Moshe. He understood and realized the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew who Moshe Rabbeinu really was. She adaraba, that just the opposite, because he thinks so little of himself, because he keeps saying, who am I, what am I, when Hashem wanted to send him to take the Jews out of Egypt, he said, what are you sending me for? Pick somebody normal, pick somebody somebody good, there's all kinds of other people out there. Moshe Rabbeinu was looking to run away from any kind of kavod, any kind of appointeeship, unless he was forced into it, like Hashem pressed him into it. But Bezalel realized that this is most powerful attribute. Because Moshe Rabbeinu thinks so little of himself, because he's nothing, because he himself doesn't take up any space, he's full of Hashem. There's no I in him. It's not that Hashem is 50% and he's 50%, or Hashem is 90-10. By Moshe Rabbeinu was nothing. If he's nothing, if he's zero, then Hashem can be 100 by him. He can be full of Hashem, totally filled only with Hashem. That because of his incredible anivus, hu nichlal betachlis habitul barotzon helyon. This made it possible for him to nullify himself totally to this 50th, to this rotzon helyon. Ki shom iefsher lihikolel bishleimus, because on that level it's impossible for a tzaddik or a person to plug into that 50th level and make a real connection unless the person has negated himself totally, unless he's gotten rid of his gashmi, he's nothing. Alkein betzalel b'chinas ha-talmid hisig miyad asiyosa. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Bezalel, Bezalel said, no problem. We can do this, no problem. Ki hu amar, what was he saying? Ani batuach bekoichoi shel zokein. I have total confidence in Moshe Rabbeinu. I have total confidence in the zokein digdusha, shehu Moshe Rabbeinu, shebevadai esezois, that I will definitely be able to make them. With my rabbi, I can handle anything. With Moshe Rabbeinu as my rabbi, there's nothing I can't do. I will complete it properly. I have total faith in my rabbi, that he will definitely succeed and succeed. He will finish the job and finish it again. He will succeed in bringing such a powerful rotzon into Klal Yisrael, into the world, that it'll carry the Jewish people through every kind of darkness that we'll go through. Ki hatzadik ho'emes eino yochoy leida migdulas atzmoy kol kach. Rav Nosson Zal is saying a very delicate point here. The tzadik, the true tzadik, can't realize and recognize his own greatness to the fullest extent. Migoydel habitul vohanova shaloi. Because of the fact that, again, he's still dealing with Hashem. And compared to Hashem, when he looks at Hashem, he says, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I'm 0, 0, 0. The tzaddik cannot see and cannot show his full greatness the way his student can see it from the distance. Lahavdil. We have the moshel that when you have a mountain, when you're standing next to the mountain, you don't see them. You can't see the whole mountain, how huge it is and everything. When you move away from the mountain, you see how big that mountain is. And again, this is a moshel in a sense, where even though the rabbi is a billion times higher than the student, because of the rabbi's bitul to Hashem, because he's still in one pocket, he's still saying, I'm nothing, nobody, nobody, nothing, nothing. Sometimes that gives him a feeling that he can't do it. I'll never be able to do it, that kind of thing. We'll give an example for this right now. We find that by Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, the last major event in his life, we know Rabbi Nachman said the most important day for him was Rosh Hashanah. And if you look in Likutei Moran, you see his life building to a climax. You see the last few years, the shiurim that he gives on Rosh Hashanah, it keeps going higher and higher and deeper and more incredible. And the last 3 years of his life, we know he had tuberculosis. And he was suffering. He was coughing up blood. He went through very, very tremendous difficulty besides all of his other problems. And when it came to that last Rosh Hashanah, the summer, throughout the summer, that was, he had already moved the last 5 months of his life. He had left the city of Breslov and he had come to Uman. And he said he was coming there to finish everything he needed to finish. Because that's where he said there were thousands of neshamos, Jewish martyrs that had been slaughtered al Kiddush Hashem. Because the Goyim wanted to shmad them. The Goyim told him, either bow to a cross or we're going to mutilate you. We're going to cut you to pieces. And 30,000 Jews at the time didn't bow. Men, women, kids did not bow. And they were slaughtered. And Rabbeinu Zal said that was one of the reasons for his coming to Uman, to be involved in the tikkun of those souls, these people who left the world and needed some kind of a tikkun, some kind of an elevation. That was one of the things he came there for. In addition, the apikursim that were there in Uman, that was one of the centers of the Haskalah movement at that time, in the beginning. And Rabbeinu Zal engaged some of their leaders and was makarev some of them. So now it came to this last Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbeinu Zal had been talking about it the whole summer, how he's looking forward, he's waiting for Rosh Hashanah. And hundreds of people had come from Uman itself and from surrounding cities to be with him for that Rosh Hashanah, the largest group that had ever come, to maybe 600 people at the time. And Rabbeinu Zal didn't know what to do. On one hand, he had a huge basin of blood in front of him that he had coughed up just in the last 24 hours, like. And Rav Nosson Zal came in right before the time when he was about to give the shir, and Rabbeinu Zal said to him, what do I do? What do I do? I can't do this. This is sakana, you know. And Rav Nosson Zal said to him, you're right, of course, 100%. No way, impossible. He said, but what about all the people here? Who cares, people? Your life is more important. And then he said, what about the fact that I've been waiting for this so long? I've been waiting a whole year for the Rosh Hashanah. And then Rabbeinu Zal started talking in a way that Rav Nosson Zal understood that he really did want to give the shir, that he really did. And Rav Nosson Zal was listening to him, and he saw the change in the conversation. And this is written down, what they said. And at one point, Rav Nosson Zal realized that the Rebbe's real ratzon was to go ahead with it. So Rav Nosson Zal started thinking, what do we do? The fact is, he's still in a precarious position. So he said, you know what we'll do? We'll put your chair, instead of where you usually sit, in the middle, let's say, we're going to put your chair right at the entrance to this room. So if while you're speaking, anything goes wrong, in a second, you're out of the room, and you're here, and you're safe, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then Rabbeinu Zal said, okay, I'm ready. And Rav Nosson Zal says, he saw, like Rabbeinu Zal looked up, as if he was looking to Hashem saying, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready meaning, I'm ready to put my life on the line. I'm ready, this is a suffik pikuach nevet. Go, let's do it. And Rabbeinu Zal went and he spoke for a few hours. We have the shir, chapter 8 in Likutei Moran Tanina, Tikutei Chacha. He spoke, you know, and you look at it, you can't believe your eyes, that a person was able to do this, you know, when he wasn't feeling so well, etc. This is an example, and here again, Rabbeinu Zal needed Rav Nosson Zal. You see from the way the story played out, he needed Rav Nosson Zal to give him chizuk at that time. Like on his own, he wasn't ready to do it. He needed a push, and the push had to come from somebody saying, "Okay, then let's do it. We'll do it this and this way." Now Rav Nosson Zal finishes here. Ki haven, because Bezalel understood shemachmaze biatzmoi sheniskashe kol kach al asiyosa, that because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is finding it so hard to accept the fact that he can do this, that he can make this menorah, sheze machmas an vesanusoi, that's because of his incredible humility. Aideze daiko yigmur hatikin shal menorah. That's the best proof that he's the man for the job, that he can do it. Shehu he'ora sarotzlin, meaning he's the one who will be able to generate this rotzlin. V'alkein, Bezalel daiko osa oisa koroi, and that's why the Torah testifies that Bezalel did do it. He made the menorah. V'hakoil bekoichoi shel Moshe Rabboi. But obviously, totally with the help and guidance and power of his rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu. We find that in the Navi Yehoshua, the last psukim of the Chumash speak about Moshe Rabbeinu passing away. And then the Navi Yehoshua begins with Hashem speaking to Yehoshua and giving him encouragement. Don't be afraid, you're going to be Matzliach. And in that first chapter in Yehoshua, it says the word Chazak three times. Chazak means be strong, you know, be encouraged. The Meforshim bring that the word Chazak, three times Chazak, is Begematria Moshe. That Hashem was assuring Yehoshua, you have nothing to worry about. Your rabbi was Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to do it. You're going to succeed. He's great enough. And with the combination, the rabbi-student combination, the sun and the moon, Torah and Tefillah, male and female, all the different examples that we give, that you need the two, you need both, you'll be able to do it. And this is why when it came to the menorah, the Torah makes a point of saying that this was an example where Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't complete it. It was Bezalel, the student, that completed. Just like when it came to taking the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, you look at the story of the Jews being taken out of Egypt. Who did it? Moshe Rabbeinu. Who carried them through 40 years in the desert? Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Yeshua shows up on his white horse the last minute and he takes them in. The answer is it's this combination. It's this combination of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua that was able, and again, anything that the Talmud has is purely with the strength of his rabbi. You know, it's purely based on the koyach of his rabbi. We mentioned before, again, it's Zayin Ador. It's not a regular day, it's special. I'd like to add something very special related to what we mentioned before when he spoke about that the menorah has 49 parts to it. And those 49 parts represent the 49 days of Sfira to shine into the hearts of the Jewish people, this Ratzon. The Bnei Yisachar talks about the 49 days of Sfira, and he has an incredible, incredible explanation related to the holiday of Lag BaOmer. We know it's interesting that today on Zayin Adar, there's a custom among many Jews in Eretz Yisrael, thousands, that they travel to Miron. We don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. Nobody knows where Har Nevoi, where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. So there are many Jews that travel to Miron for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons is that in the Zohar HaKadosh, it's made clear that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal was a nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu, was very much connected to the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's brought in Sforim that Lag BaOmer, which is the day of the passing away of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, Lag BaOmer is Bigimatria Moshe. And there are many other connections between both of them. So now the Bnei Socha writes there, he has an incredible discussion. We're just going to touch on it. For those that can, they'll look into it further, where he speaks about Lag BaOmer, how we know that all 49 days of Sfira are very special and important, and yet Lag BaOmer is something nuclear. It's the largest gathering of Jews in the world. We're talking now about a Siyum on Daf Yomi. They're hoping that there'll be tens of thousands of Jews that'll get together, 30,000, 50,000 maybe. Lag BaOmer now is up to several hundred, 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 Jews converging on this little village, Miron, during that 2-3 day period. You know, the days surrounding Lag BaOmer, that's the quantity of Jews that pay, the largest event for Judaism in the world. And the Bnei Yisachar explains there that the 49 days of Yomer are a preparation for Shavuos. We're preparing ourselves to receive the Torah. What does a Jew need to prepare? What's the most important thing that a Jew needs to prepare to receive Hashem's light? And he says there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos where the Mishnah says one of the great rabbis, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, who the Arizal says was one of the Gilgulim of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says if you study his life, the Gemara says Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai lived to 120, also lived to 120 like Moshe Rabbeinu, and he shows three parts of his life, that just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, his life was divided into three sections, 40 and 40 and 40. By Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai also, he was the Nosi of Klal Yisrael, I believe, for 40 years. The Arizal shows all the connections. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his top students, who were the rabbis of Rabbi Akiva, we're talking about Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, the giants of the giants, he said to them, go out into the world and research and come back and tell me what's the most important thing. What's the most important thing that a person can acquire in life? And one of them said it's a good eye, one said it's a good friend, the other one said it's a good neighbor. Each one gave a different answer. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch said it's a good heart, a lev toiv. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, in his words is included everything. In a lev toiv includes everything, everything. The person would say, what do you mean? Take a guy, take a human being, and tell him, listen, you have a heart, so you're not going to mind if I cut off your hands or I take one of your eyeballs, it ain't no big deal, because you still have a heart, and the heart is koilel everything. How can you say such a thing? The heart is really koilel everything? And the answer is, one of the answers is, that the heart is what drives everything. The heart is the force that pumps life into, that pumps the blood in the body, which is the life. Ki adam hu anefesh. That's what's pumping life into every single part of the body, all over the place. And that's why the Zohar HaKadosh refers to the heart as the melech of all the organs in many ways, etc., etc. So the Bnei Yisachar writes that the words lev toiv are bigematria 49. That these 49 days of Yomer, where we're working on ourselves, to prepare ourselves, to get ourselves there, to fix everything we need to fix. What do we need to fix? The answer is, this is what we need to fix. If the heart is the way it is, the right way, everything else will fall into place. If a person's heart is in the right place, I don't have my heart in it. What does it mean? I don't I don't really want it. I don't have my heart in that business or whatever it is. It means I don't really want it. It's not really what I want. I don't. When a person has something that they really want, wow, my heart is. I have my heart. You know, mamish means something that the rotzayin is bishleimus. We said before that by tztok it says kol nediv leiv yevia is trumas Hashem. That tztok is not with the mouth. Tztok is with the heart. Tztok is something that's coming from the heart. It's an expression of goodwill. When a person's giving it with the whole, when a person gives and they're angry inside, it detracts tremendously. The ikar tztoka that we spoke about, a person showing an oni, a happy face. The Gemara talks about kibud avayim, that one guy could be feeding his father geese, the most expensive foods, and get gehenim for it. And another person sends his father out to the field to work, and he gets Gan Eden. Because the one who's giving him the geese, but when he's giving it with anger, he's not happy to do it. And when the father starts asking a question, where did you get? What are you asking questions for? It shows he doesn't really want to do. He's not doing it with rotzayin toiv. So here we see that the leiv toiv is the top of the top. That's koilel everything. And that's what he's talking about here, what the menorah represents. That the menorah is the thing that shines that rotzayin into the heart. And that's why the menorah is these 49 parts. The menorah is what beams into Klal Yisrael, the leiv toiv that we need, that the Gemara says is koilel everything, to be able to accomplish what we need. And the Bnei Yisrael shows that the story of creation is a model for everything. He shows there that if you count from Bereshis, from the word Bereshis, Baro Lekim Es Hashemayim Es Haaretz, the 32nd word and the 33rd word he shows over there is Toiv. And he shows how this relates. We know that the number 32 usually refers to Chochma. The Sefer Yetzirah begins with the words Lamed Beis Nesivus HaChochma. There are 32 paths of Chochma. The Torah begins with the letter Beis, and it's completed with the letter Lamed, showing that the Torah contains in it these 32 paths of Chochma. What is 33? 33 is going above Chochma, going to the Keser, the crown. We always mention that again, you have Chochma, which is the top of the top of the top, but then you have what's above that, what goes above Chochma, which is the Keser, which is called Ratzin. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Chacham. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's the epitome of Talmud Chacham. In Chochma, he got to the 49 levels. When he passed away, he went up into Ratzin. Ratzin is that Keser, that's that highest, highest place. And that's what the menorah represents. You know, that's what we're dealing here. The Shulchan Aruch says that Purim, which we said is higher than Yom Kippur in certain ways, that Purim always comes out on the same day of the week as Lag BaOmer. The Shulchan Aruch brings a remes, plag. Purim and Lag BaOmer always come out on the same day, which means there's a kesher between them. Purim is this keser. Purim, the halacha is that you drink ad delo yoda, until you can't think, until you can't understand, until you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. Why? Because you're going above that. You're going above Yediyah. On Purim, a person is going to that place of Ratzin, to this Keser, this highest, highest place, where the light can reach down again. Even the Goy, what happened on Purim? Thousands of converts. We said that Moshe Rabbeinu, through this Ratzin, is able to Verabim me'ame ha'oretz misyahadim. Thousands of Goy. Here, 1 minute, it looked like Lahashmid. 1 minute, all the Jews were going to be wiped out, Shmad. The next minute, all the goyim are converting. What is that? Ratzon. Goodwill. Goodwill. So the question is, why didn't Mashiach come then? If it was such a... The answer is, the last line in the Megillah speaks about how great Mordechai at Tzaddik was. And it says there, V'rotzui l'rov echov. He was accepted by most of his brothers. There wasn't full agreement. Everybody did not accept Mordechai. There were people who had complaints, there were people who had questions on him, etc., etc. That's why Purim was the incredible success as it was, but not total. It didn't finish the job. We should be zeche by strengthening our emuna in Hashem and in Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdoi, to see Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, the rabbis and the students, each one of them fill their role in bringing about the complete Gula, the final Gula for Klal Yisrael with the coming of Mashiach. B'mehera b'Amenu. Amen v'amen.